what? When we see Christ, it's just a real great thought to think about. We're going to see our Savior one of these days, and everything we've gone through, all the troubles you may have gone through, are going to be worth it all when you see Christ. It's number 216 in your hymn book, and I'll try and sing it for you tonight. Oftimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears Joshua chapter 17. Joshua and the children of Israel have come out of Egypt under the leadership
of Moses
through the Red Sea, 40 years in the wilderness journey, and then Moses passes away and leaves the leadership to Joshua. And Joshua leads the children of Israel into the promised land to possess the land. Now this is long before the time of Christ. Jesus had not come yet, hadn't died on the cross yet. The church age isn't place yet. This is long ago. And the children of Israel are going into the land of Israel to possess it. There are some good lessons for us as we watch the children of Israel possess the land. Christian, ye who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to be possessing more of the blessing of Christ Jesus every single day of your life. Possessing more of what it means to be a child of God. And we've been looking at some principles of possessing. And we looked at possession is by providence. Possession is by faith. Possession is by request. Possession by conflict. And then we saw what we want to look at tonight is possession is by capacity. Capacity. The ability to possess. The amount that you want to possess. Chapter 17 and verse 16. Chapter 17 verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Horon and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Now, what I want you to see there is that these children of Joseph said to Joshua, the hill is not enough for us. There's not enough room there for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. And we talked about this last week as they came to Joshua and realized that they were going to have to possess by conflict. For Joshua, in the context here, says, go and fight for it. That's what he tells them. But I see something else here in this verse that the people said, the hill is not enough for us. They had too many in their tribe, the tribe of Joseph, to live in that little space, in that little bit of land. And so these tribes possessed according to size. And if you look at a map of the tribes of Israel, after they possessed the land and conquered the land, some of the tribes have bigger amounts of land than some of the others. Some have a very tiny piece, and others have a large piece. Some have two pieces. Some have a piece on the east side of Jordan, one on the west side of Jordan. So possession is by capacity. And I just show you another place. Go to chapter 19 and verse 9. 19 verse 9. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. If you look at your map of the 12 tribes of Israel, you'll find Judah is down in the southern part. And right in the middle of it, it'll be like a little circle of land and the name Simeon in there. And that's just how it happened here. The land was too much for Judah to occupy. And Simeon needed a place. And so they dwelt right in the middle of the tribe of Judah. So if you look at your maps, you'll see that taking place there. So the possession is by capacity, the need for room. Go over to verse 47 of chapter 19. Verse 47. And the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and dwelt therein and called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan their father. So there you see again this tribe of Dan, the amount of land they had to begin with was too little for them. So they had to go conquer more land. And thus they were able to live peaceably in the land. Now why am I saying all that? I'm saying that to say this. Christians possess according to capacity to hold. You will possess as you have the capacity to hold. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Possess what? Possess the blessings, the gifts, the work that the Lord wants for you to do. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It says this, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, and here it is, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, it's obvious here that some are able to exercise more faith in the things of the Lord and the work of the Lord, the ministry of the Lord, than others. And that is given to them by the grace of God to have more faith than others. Do you know any Christians among your Christian relationships that seem to have more faith in the things of the Lord than others? You probably do. And it just seems that that is the characteristic of that person, to have faith, to take God at His word, to believe God, to trust the Lord. They just seem to have more capacity to hold on to that gift of faith. God gives it. And you'll notice that this verse is in a passage talking about the body of believers. Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Don't you see here, all the people that make up the church of Jesus Christ have different jobs to do. They have different talents, different ministries that's given to each one of them based upon, go up to verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace or undeserved favor that is given to us. I'm sure that most of you, if you've been in the church for very long, you'll say to yourself, when I want to be comforted, I know who to go to. When I want to be exhorted and encouraged, I know who else to go to. And then, of course, there's those in the church who have special gifts to be able to teach. And you say, well, if I want to learn something, I'm going to go listen to so-and-so teach the Word of God. Because God has given that one the capacity to hold that gift of teaching. And then there's those who can give. You see that mentioned there. Giving, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Those that rule. Look at the end of verse 8. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, when you want somebody to encourage you when you're not feeling real great, you know who to go to. You learn who to go to. Because God has provided people within the church with all these different gifts, and they have possessed them as God has given them the capacity to do so. And I would encourage you, whatever it is that the Lord has given unto you to do, the ability to do, the capacity to do, possess it and use it for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us, all right, Ephesians 4, 7. Everybody there? Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. What is grace? Undeserved favor. Something God gives you you don't have on your own or did on your own. It's something God gives you. But unto every one of us, and the us is referring to, in the context, all the believers in the church at Ephesus, and of course all the believers in any church for that matter. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. How about that? Under the measure of the gift of Christ. So it appears here that individuals within the church have different capacities to possess certain things that God has to give to you in His grace. And I'm glad it's like that. We're not all the same in the church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that an interesting thing? We're all different. And we all have different gifts that God has given to us. God uses your personality, your character, maybe your smiling face or whatever. And He gives you the grace to be able to use His blessings that He gives to bless other people in the church. And so we're to possess in that manner. Actually, we could go all the way down through verse 16 here and see all the various things that God gives to certain people in the church. Let's read verse 8. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, and that refers to when Jesus went back to heaven, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then there's a parenthetical thought here in verses 9 and 10. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, referring to His death, burial? He that descended is the same also that ascended, His resurrection and ascension up into heaven, up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. You know, our Lord and Savior came, died on the cross for our sins, provided a great salvation for us. He went into the grave. Three days later, He rose up from that grave and He ascended back to heaven. And all the people who believed in Jesus Christ, He has given to them gifts. Our Savior, when He went to heaven, as He went to heaven, He gave gifts to those who were behind, who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those gifts continue right on up to this day. We're to possess those gifts as God gives us the capacity to do so. And within the church, there's all kinds of different gifts. Let's read on, verse 11. And He gave some apostles. In the very early church, He gave apostles. Peter, Paul, James, John, all the rest. They were men who then wrote much of the New Testament scriptures for us. Now, there are no more apostles today. They're gone. They've passed on off the scene. There have to be certain credentials for one to be an apostle, and no one could fit that today. One of them was, you had to see the resurrected Lord. And I don't believe there's anyone here who's old enough to have been able to see the resurrected Lord. So there are no more apostles today. Their work has come and gone. Their gift was given to the church, and it's gone, but the results of it are left behind in the Bible. The apostles' doctrine, we call it. Now, continuing on, and He gave some prophets. Those were men who could tell the future. And some evangelists. These are men who are gifted by God to preach the gospel and make it simple and clear. We still have evangelists today. Every once in a while we have evangelistic meetings. And we invite a man to come on in and preach evangelistic messages. That he might preach the good news of salvation, the gospel message. Then, as we read on here, and some pastors. I guess we could say you're looking at one right now, right? Pastor, a shepherd of the sheep. And God gives men the grace to be able to fulfill the job of being pastor in the church. And what's a pastor supposed to do? He's supposed to lead the sheep. He's given another name in the New Testament as an elder. He's also given another name, bishop or overseer. So he's got the responsibility in the spiritual affairs in the church to take care of the sheep of God and teach them the Word of God and lead and guide and direct them, counsel them. And that's the job of the pastor. Now, not everybody in the church is a pastor. See? God gives capacities by His grace to be able to do certain things. You and I need to possess those things. Just like Joshua and the children of Israel went into the promised land and they had to conquer and wipe out the heathen in that land and then possess the land, so spiritually we need to possess the land spiritually and get a hold of the gifts that God has given to each one of us. And none of you should sit here tonight and say, well, I don't have anything. You do have something that God has given to you to use within the confines of the church of Jesus Christ. Get it and do them. Serve the Lord. Possess the land. The end of verse 11 says, and teachers. Individuals who can explain and give you an understanding of the Word of God. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gives these gifts so that the church can grow and mature, like it says here. Verse 13, for how long do we have these men and women with gifts like this? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Boy, it kind of goes into a long explanation of all the reasons why we need to grab a hold of these gifts that God gives to men to serve in the church. Why? Because we need to grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. We need to mature, it says there, verse 14, so that we're not tossed to and fro with all the doctrines that are out there in the world today. You know, there's a lot of false doctrine out in the world today. A lot of false teaching out there. And we need to have teachers and preachers and evangelists teach us so that we don't go the wrong way, so that we stay in the straight and narrow way and walk in a way that pleases the Lord. And there's many who are out there lying in wait to deceive you. You need to find a ministry and a minister who's preaching the Word of God, who has possessed his capacity to do just that, and then follow the teaching of the Word of God. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure, there's that capacity idea again, in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I hope that you see in those verses there that the church is supposed to be growing and maturing. And it's done through the gifts that God gives to men to in turn help the church to grow together. And everybody has something to do within the body of Christ. All the members supply something to the overall benefit of the body of Christ. Look there at verse 16. That which every joint supplieth. Now think of yourself as a joint in the body, you know, like the elbow, the knuckles, the leg, the knees, your neck, the other parts of the body, all supply what the rest of the body needs. How about that other passage, you know, in 1 Corinthians, which talks about where if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? See? If the whole body were the head, where's the body? You remember me talking about that, how silly it would be to see a head rolling around the floor, you know? You need to have the neck and the body, the arms, the legs, and the toes and everything else to have a body that's really going to perform as it needs to. And so we need to possess the land. Every one of us needs to say in our heart, Lord, what is it you have for me to do? How can I help supply the body with what it needs so that it is effectually working? That's what verse 16 says there. Every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. So, we need to possess the land based upon capacity. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. One verse. Colossians 2, verse 19. Colossians 2, 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. You know what? Well, we're all supposed to fulfill the job that God has given us to do. And so there's a possession by capacity on the part of the believer. Now, let's go back to Joshua chapter 18, verse 3. 18, verse 3. We're going to get into another aspect here. Here we're going to see preventatives to possessing. That which prevents us from possessing the land. Joshua 18, verse 3. It says this, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Verse 3, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? What is preventing the children of Israel from totally possessing the land? Slackness. Slackness. Sad to say, Many within the church are slack. Slackness here means slothful, lazy, idle. And it ends up causing one to fail or fall short of. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, the very first chapter of the book of Joshua. And Joshua is exhorted here by God Himself. In verse 5 it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Joshua, the great conqueror of the land, he was told, look, no one will be able to keep you from taking the land, possessing the land. Nobody. And now he's saying here in chapter 18, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land? I mean, Joshua remembers, God told me no one will keep us from being able to possess the land. Now, how come you haven't done it? He's saying to the children of Israel, because they're slacking, they're slothful, they're lazy, they're idle. You know what? The children of Israel, up to this point, they'd taken a good portion of the land, but seven of the tribes still had not possessed their possession in the land. Let's just bring this over to us in the church age, living and serving the Lord. You know what? We cannot take a break from serving God. We just got to serve Him all the days of our life. There's no taking a break from serving God. Good intentions will not get the job done. We've got to serve the Lord and put our necks to the yoke and serve the Lord and be faithful in all that we do all the time and serve Him with all of our strength. If we delay or tarry or put off, we'll end up not possessing the land like God wants us to, not enjoying the blessings of the Lord while we live here on this earth. And the Lord has some great things for us. He's got a lot in store for us. Let's possess the land. And let's not be lazy about it. You know what? 2 weeks ago, we had Michael Wilps here, didn't we? Wasn't it a blessing? I mean, we were all encouraged, weren't we? I mean, we couldn't wait to do something for the Lord. Now it's 2 weeks later. Isn't it wearing off? It kind of wears off, doesn't it? Well, why is that? Because we're slack. We're idle. We're kind of lazy about it. And we're kind of sitting back. You know what? We need to renew ourselves each and every day to want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, may it not just only be when a certain preacher is here and preaching and things like that. We need to be serving the Lord and not taking a break. But oh, I can see it. It happens. It just goes in cycles over and over and over again. And I experience it myself in my own spiritual life. And I'm sad to have to admit that. But we need to awaken every day and renew our dedication to the Lord and say, forgive me for slacking off. Forgive me for idle and being lazy, Lord. And help me today to get the work of the Lord done for which you have called me to do. Oh, if we'd only be like that. Another preventive to possessing the land is seen in Joshua 16, verse 10. So laziness, you know, slacking off. Well, I'll let someone else do that work of the Lord. You know what? We need to put ourselves to the work and get it done. Now, Joshua 16, verse 10 says this, "And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute." What am I going to say here? What's preventing the Ephraimites from totally possessing the land? Compromise. They're compromising here. They were told, you totally wipe out the heathen when you come in here. They said, we can live with them. We can dwell with them. It was wrong. It's compromise. They tried to make the best of two different things. Possessing the land was one thing, the Canaanites is another. You can't do them both. If you're going to possess the land, you can't compromise with the world, Christian. If you're going to totally serve the Lord the way you should and the way He wants you to, you cannot compromise with the world. We as a church cannot compromise with the world and bring the standards of the world and the worldly things into the church and still claim that we're possessing the land for the Lord. We're serving Him. Oh no, you're compromising is what you're doing. And you're not totally possessing the land. And then another thing, chapter 15, verse 63. Here's something else that prevents them possessing. I'm just going to call it inability. Inability. 15, verse 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so they're the Canaanites, they're the ungodly, the idol worshippers, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. You know, the fact that they did not totally drive out all the heathen when they went in to possess the land would cause them trouble for hundreds of years afterward. It would be a constant source of trouble for the children of God. But here it says they could not drive them out. Go over to chapter 17 and verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Inability. Now, the thing about it is, it was their own perceived inability because God had already told Joshua, I will be with you and you will be able to drive them out completely. I will help you. So why are we reading verses, they could not drive them out? Something's wrong here. The inability is on their own part, not God's. Now let me take you to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. For us in the church age, should we feel the same way about things? Well, you know, I just try, but I can never get my act together for the work of the Lord. You know what? It just does seem like there are some Christians who just don't ever get it together. And they end up dwelling with the Canaanites in a spiritual sense all the days of their life. And it's sad. It doesn't have to be that way. Look at this verse. Everybody, you got that? You got it? Philippians 4:13. Let's read it out loud together, okay? Philippians 4:13. Here we go. Together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Again. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Wow. There's your promise from God to help you. And the rest of the verses, if you keep on reading over to verse, look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know, this is just such a tough thing, such a difficult thing the Lord has put into my life to do or accomplish for Him. I just can't do it. Oh, you just can do it. If the Lord's given it to you to do, He's also given you the resources to fulfill it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the strengtheneth is in the present continuous tense there. See that? He'll just constantly give you the strength you need to do it. Christian, we are to be possessing more all the time. I have three references I'd like you to look at, and we'll be done. John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. You know who uses this verse a lot? You've heard him here many times. We've had him here preaching. He's an evangelist. I'm going to read this verse, and I want to see if any of you can tell me who it is who uses this verse a lot when he preaches. And he's been here a lot. I'll say he has less hair than I have, okay? John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Anybody know who? Maybe it's a trick question. I don't know. Dave? Yeah, Bill, amen. All right. Oh, well, did the baldness give it away? yeah. Well, you did. You still had to think, okay, who's bald and comes here and preaches? All right. Well, Bill Behrens uses this a lot. And folks, God does intend that we have life and that we might have it more abundantly, to enjoy living for the Lord. God gives us what we need. And He knows how much you can hold. And He gives you exactly what you need. He measures it out. Some He gives a certain amount. Others He knows what you can have too. And He gives. All the tribes of Israel did not have the same size space. If you look at it. Now look at a map in the back of your Bibles. You all got maps back there. That's where you get messed up in the sword drill, right? All those maps get in your way. You look at those maps. You can see they're all different sizes. He didn't block it off in exact blocks. He gave them what they could handle. And God gives you what you can handle. He doesn't give you any more, and He doesn't give you any less. And you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is our second verse. We got one more. Philippians 1, verse 6. This is a good eternal security verse, but it's also one where you can see the Lord providing, so that you can possess more all the time. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll help you through. He'll give you the strength you need to perform the work that He's called you to do all the way to glory. He's not going to let you drop off, 10 years before the your time is up or anything. He'll be with you right up to the very end. By the way, He's a friend that never leaves you. He's always with you all the time. You know that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We can take everything to Him in prayer. Well, last verse would be 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. I'll let you get there. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, the promises that God will watch over us. He'll fill our mouths with what we need and so forth. If you look at the context prior to it in the previous chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. You know, that's who the Christians are. They're dearly beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Yeah, God will provide. He'll give you what you need to help you through, to take you through to the end. But you know what? You got to be saved in order for God to do this for you. What we've been talking about tonight is for the saved, for the born again, for the child of God. Are you a child of God? Do you know for sure where you'd spend eternity if you died tonight? What would cause you to miss heaven? The fact that you've rejected Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin. Sin will eventually put you into hell. But if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He'll wash your sins away, take them off of your account, and give in its place everlasting life. Why not trust Him as your personal Savior? And then you'll find that He can help you possess the land. And serve the Lord. And have life more abundantly. Every time I pray with Pastor Reddy, our preacher over in India, he always uses that phrase, more abundantly. More abundantly. Bless Pastor Freeman more abundantly. Bless his ministry more abundantly. Bless the Race Street Baptist Church and the people at Race Street Baptist Church more abundantly. He always says that all the time. And it's kind of neat to hear him say it in a way, because you know what? God wants to bless us and help us possess more of what He has for us more abundantly. But you got to be saved. That's where it starts. How about it? Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? If you are saved tonight, how are you doing? You possessing the land? Are you enjoying the service of the Lord? I would encourage you to do just what Joshua says. Go fight for it. Possess it. Ask God to help you every day to serve Him better. All right, folks. Let's sing a good song here. Oh, I don't know. What's a good song in light of possessing the land and getting the things that God has for us and to give us strength? I didn't pick out a song. Anybody think of one? Oh, boy. How about Oh, to be like thee. How about that one? That's in page 461. Oh, to be like thee. 461. You know, if you're here tonight and you need help in getting saved, we'd love to help you with that. I know we didn't talk a whole lot about that tonight, but if you'd like to trust the Lord as your personal Savior so you can be a child of God, there's nothing better than that, and serve the Lord, why don't you just step out from where you're at, meet me down at the front here, and we'll have someone help you trust Christ as Savior. Christians, as we sing this song, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. It's almost like as if you're trying to possess more that God has for you. Let's stand and sing this. You come if you need help tonight with salvation. 461. I be blessed, Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll region, south side of Easton. So, you know, it would take you some effort to get over there and to help out. And it wouldn't be, she'll probably be in the hospital another day or two, I don't know. So there is a little unsureness about this, but if you say, yeah, you know what, I can help out, let my wife know, and then she can call you and make arrangements for it. Let's see if we can't help them out. They are thinking about joining our church. They've asked about it. And so I think we should just be as kind and helpful, charitable as we can be to them in their time of need here. All right, I think that's it. Okay. Yep. Don't forget, Saturday, if you can come out and help out with the work that we would like to get accomplished on Saturday, do so. Be here at 9. And we'll get some work done. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your goodness towards us and taking care of us and promising to help us to possess the land, spiritually speaking, and help us to enjoy the Christian walk and live in that joy of the Lord like you want us to. Help us not to be slack or compromising or thinking that we're unable We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Help us as we go our way to live for the Lord and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.